we are certainly grateful to have partaken in the Feast of Tabernacles, if only for a short time. We know some had to leave and get back to the respectful areas to be able to work and do these things that need to be done. But while we're at the feast, we were encouraged. I think we saw some things that maybe we haven't been seeing for a while. And I certainly was encouraged. We had anointed one little girl, Ava, who was running a fever. You could visibly tell that she was quite sick. And there were a few of us that got sick. I for one, got a bit of a cold. And I ran the fever as well, so I'm still recovering from that. But we anointed Ava, and Elder Roger asked for Yahweh's Spirit to go into her and to heal her. And she was healed. I mean, everyone that knew how sick she was realized that it was a miracle that took place. We also had an individual that's the first time that we've seen him. He's new. He attended half the feast. He attended the other half with a group that keeps the feast but doesn't quite understand the names and some of the deeper things that we understand. And he made a comparison, not that we're to compare ourselves among ourselves or anything like that, but he recognized the Spirit was more prevalent with us. And in fact, he was anointed, and he said he could feel Yahweh's strength. So certainly, I think these things give us faith. They strengthen our faith. But how will this transfer into the way we live our lives? If you would turn to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to Yahweh must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." Today I want to talk to you about living faith. A faith that is strengthened by Yahweh's Spirit. A faith that we are in need of to be able to endure and to be pleasing in Yahweh's sight. If you would turn to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Habakkuk 2 and verse 4. We'll take a look at a word there that is translated as faith. It's actually the word emunah, and it's Strong's 530 found there in Habakkuk 2:4. It means steadfastness or faithfulness, one who is faithful and steadfast. It says, "Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him," or his being is not right within him. "But the righteous will live by his faith." Now, this is a reply to Habakkuk. Habakkuk is having questions about the situation he finds himself in. And I was looking through some commentaries. I found one that I think gives a succinct description of this particular verse. But specifically, the righteous will live by his faith. It's the New American commentary. And I'll just read it for this section, and just listen to what they have to say. It says, "In the day of turmoil and destruction, the righteous person shall live by his faithfulness to Yahweh. The answer dealt with Habakkuk's frustration and fears. Would Yahweh leave the guilty in Judah and in Babylon unpunished? Would the righteous be consumed with the wicked? Yahweh answered the prophet by means of a strong contrast. The first half of the verse apparently refers to the wicked described in chapter 1, verse 7, and also verse 11 and 13, without using the term, while the second statement explicitly describes the righteous person. By means of a strong contrast, Yahweh answered the complaints of the prophet. The one whose life is puffed up in pride and arrogance will die. The righteous, in contrast, by his faithfulness will live." I think we see this type of commentary by Yahweh himself in Ezekiel chapter 17 when he says, look, the one who sins is the one who will die. But if you turn from your sins, you'll live. And something was brought out at the feast that, you know, our last dying breath, our last thought, that is how we will be seen by Yahweh when we are raised from the dead. And we will all be raised from the dead, either in a first resurrection or in a second resurrection. We see two major ones. But going on here in the commentary, it says, the one whose life is puffed up in pride and arrogance will die. The righteous, in contrast, by his faithfulness will live. Whether in Judah or Babylon, those in rebellion against Yahweh would die. Wherever human beings rely on something of this earth, whether it be intellectual achievement or wealth or military might or aesthetic ability and appreciation of pride of birth and status or even the ability to cope and solve problems and master the complexities of modern life, wherever confidence is placed in human prowess and not in Yahweh for the achievement of a satisfying and secure manner of living, there true life cannot be had. And I do believe this is true. I believe Yahweh's Spirit gives us this insight and understanding that we are to live a lifestyle to Him, a lifestyle that is full of faith, that is full of works, good works, that's full of love and compassion for others. You don't have to turn there, but 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." How do we view faith? That is, how do we view true faith today? Do we have living faith? There's a poem by Ruth A. Morgan. It's called "By Faith, Not by Sight." It says in the poem, "Sometimes I'm sad. I know not why. My heart is sore distressed. It seems the burdens of this world have settled on my heart." Do we ever feel that way? I mean, we're human. We have difficulties that we have to go through. And it tests our steel, so to speak. This poem goes on and says, "And yet I know that Yah, who doeth all things right, will lead me thus to understand, to walk by faith and not sight. And though I may not see the way He's planned for me to go, the way seems dark to me just but oh, I'm sure He knows. Today He guides my feeble step, tomorrow in His right, He has asked me to never fear, but to walk by faith, not by sight. Someday the mist will roll away, the sun will shine again, I'll see the beauty in the flowers, I'll hear the birds refrain. And then I'll know my Father's hand has led the way to light, because I placed my hand in His and walked by faith, not sight." Abraham Lincoln once said, "Faith is not believing that Yahweh can, but that Yahweh will." Certainly it is Yahweh's will. And if Yahweh is for us, who can be against us? And we hear a lot of these things. We hear a lot of these things in Christianity. We hear a lot of these things being proclaimed. But what does it really mean? Did you know that faith is a gift? If you would, turn to Romans 12 and verse 3. Romans 12 and verse 3. "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as Yahweh has allowed it to each a measure of faith." And the word here is truly meaning like, believing and having believing in the promises of Yahweh, basically. Faith, like the Spirit, is apportioned to each one of us. The question is, do we all receive the same amount? It may be that we each have a close but varying degree of faith by the same Spirit given to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 11 talks about some spiritual gifts. Interestingly enough, faith is mentioned. "To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit." Ava was healed. Another man perceived the Spirit. And in verse 10, "And to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and another the distinguishing of spirits, the discerning of spirits, in other words. To another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills." Faith can also be transferred, not only as a gift, but in teaching, faith can be taught. 2 Timothy, you don't have to turn there, but 2 Timothy 1:5, it says, "For I am mindful," this is Paul speaking to Timothy, "for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." And so we have a family here, and of course we know Yahweh says he'll call one from a family, or two from a family, one from a city. I think we're going to see more families involved with the faith, with Yahweh's word here, and involved in the work that's being done, you know, being able to reach out and help others to understand as well. But Timothy understood what he understood in part because of his family. And I think others of us can relate to that. I mean, I was raised up knowing some things, whether I wanted to know them or not, they were taught to me. And so I think the same thing is happening today. You know, the words that we speak have life because they are inspired by Yahweh. They are scripture. Romans 10, verse 14. Romans 10, starting in verse 14. "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him who they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Yahweh, who has believed our report. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Messiah," the word of Yahweh. And we find that the Messiah is the word. He was the Dabar of the Old Testament, the Logos of the New, so to speak. But we heard the message and we received it because we have been given insight that it is true. We now share the evangel message coupled with faith to others. Many do not understand what we are teaching, but there are those that catch a glimpse and start asking questions. And then they come to a fuller knowledge and understanding. You know, I see here it talks about how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. It's been brought out that the last part of the body that comes in, you know, as we think about giving birth, the last part is the feet that come out. And if we relate that to the times that we're in, we may be those feet, in a sense. Because there are others who have gone before us ever since Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, the Spirit has been being given in earnest to stay with the people, to indwell in the people. But even though that there was 3,000 at one time that were given the Spirit, what happened to them after that? We don't really hear much about them. But maybe they went forward and shared the word. Of course, this message is to be preached around the world. To every language. Has that happened yet? We may be getting very close if it hasn't happened already. But how do we define sin? Does faith have a role in it? Of course, we talk to others about what sin is. You know, the transgression of Yahweh's word, knowing to do right, but doing wrong, that's also associated with and defined as sin. Romans 14:23. We may find another definition. Romans 14, verse 23. "But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because of his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin." Whatever is not from faith is sin? Well, this is a situation where there were those that evidently thought that the meats that were, or the animals that were sacrificed to these pagan deities, maybe these pagan deities had some power over them, especially if they were to be eating the food. And so it gets into some strange things that we don't necessarily see today, but people take this and go, "Oh, well, see, you can eat whatever you want." But that's not what this section is talking about. And we I think we actually have a study on this, Romans 14. But we know that sin is defined as breaking Yahweh's instructions. It is also defined as knowing what to do, but not doing it. That's sin. Here we find that whatever is not from faith is sin. So we have a third definition. Now, if we doubt that what we are doing is right, and we do it anyway, it stands as us, or stands for us as sin. This is why we are to know what we believe and to stand firm in it and not deviate from it. The truth is a lifeline for us. It shows us the straight and narrow path, and the Spirit allows us to walk in it. But so many people do not want to walk in it. And when they hear of things like, oh, we eat clean, we think clean, we're doing clean things, as defined in Scripture by Yahweh is being right and proper and true. Even keeping the Sabbath, that's something that we're told to keep holy. Because we're holy, and He's holy. We're coming in unity with Him. It's brought out at the feast that that we're not just there being obedient. It's a lifestyle. It's being in His Spirit. It's doing those things which, yes, He tells us to do, but that we want to do. And we're not able to sin because of the Spirit. That is, we don't want to sin. I mean, things come up, we make mistakes, and these type of things happen, but we don't want to sin. So we want to persevere, we want to continue to grow. And so we strive, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And that's some of the faith that we have. It is faith. But faith is not alone. It's not by itself. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians 13. You know, I notice a lot of these scriptures are from Paul, and yet there are those today saying Paul's writings are hypocritical, or he's an apostate. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So they rip these pages out, and they're left with a New Testament that's about, oh, yay, half inch, quarter inch. And it's silly because typically we see that individuals that do that will end up throwing out the entire New Testament. And we know of someone that was baptized in Yahshua's name and ended up going back to Judaism as it's seen today with a lot of the traditions and stuff. And he just basically disregards the New Testament anymore. And he's still... He has contacted us and is trying to be our friend and stuff, and we can't have anything to do with that. And we certainly don't want an individual like that teaching other brethren the same type of untruth. Basically, it's not true, so we shouldn't have it here. 1 Corinthians 13:2. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, I wonder what that would be like, having all faith. So as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Faith alone is not enough. Just as James stated, faith without works is dead. If faith is without love, it is also essentially, basically dead. You know, many things should be included with faith besides love and works. We find 1 Thessalonians 5, 8 through 9. It says, but since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For Elohim has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Master, Yahshua the Messiah. There's also the belt of truth, the feet covered with peace. And if we're the feet going out and proclaiming the word, then we're going to get our feet a little dirty, I think, going out. But the point is that we are to be moving. We're not to sit still. But we're also to have the sword of the sword, which is the word of Yahweh, and all these things and more should be in our lives if we are to have if we have the kind of faith that is worth having. Do we always have this kind of faith? Matthew 14, verse 26, if you turn there. When the disciples saw him walking by the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear, but immediately Yahshua spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Master, if it is you, command me to come up to you on the water." Peter, always wanting to be showboating there, so to speak. But he said to Peter, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Yahshua. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink, crying out, "Master, save me." Immediately Yahshua stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" Does Yahshua reach out to us sometimes as we, you know, don't always have the faith that we think we should have? I think he does. And I think this is a perfect example of our human condition. But there are also examples of strong faith that we can see in Scripture and we can strive for to have in our own lives. Abraham was told to leave his home. In a sense, we've already gone through this as he's called us out and told us to remove ourselves from the world, which was our home at one time, and its way of doing things. We're to be brushing ourselves off, cleaning ourselves up from that. I understand that Messiah cleans us up, that we're clean, cleansed in him. But we also have to do our part. We have to, you know, prepare ourselves for when he returns. We need to keep ourselves clean. If we find ourselves doing things not quite right, we need to straighten up and make sure that we start doing those things right, as according to Yahweh's word. Abraham was told to sacrifice his son Isaac. Have we ever been told to do that? Nothing like that. But are we sometimes forced to choose to give up those things which we love? I know of at least one individual who was forced to choose his faith over his wife. She threatened to leave if he followed through with his faith. And I think it was that he was coming to the Feast of Tabernacles. And she said, "If you go, don't bother coming back. I won't even be here." Basically is what was stated. So she threatened to leave if he followed through with his faith. Turns out she didn't leave. But he did, and he kept the feast. And so it may have been a pretty strong test for him, but it was one that he was able to endure and pass. Another was told that he wouldn't have a job when he came back if he went to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. He went anyway. And when he got back, lo and behold, he didn't have a job. They fired him. But, you know, sometimes we suffer for our faith. Nothing says that we're going to, you know, be rich in this world and have everything work out for us the way we would like. But things still work out, don't they? I think they do. Gideon's army was reduced to almost nothing. I mean, they started out with, I think it was 20,000, down to about 300. My human nature desires that we have lots of workers here at the assembly. And I'm sure you have situations where you also desire more help to get a job done, whatever that may be. But doesn't the job get done with what help there is? And I think we find that here, certainly. David confronting Goliath. Any Goliaths in our life? Do we sometimes have to confront them with Yahweh's word? Does Yahweh ultimately provide the victory? Even though we are weak, isn't Yahweh strong? I think so. Daniel, when he faced the lion's den, have we been faced with death yet for our faith? That's what Daniel was faced with. And we know the account. He of course, when he was told to bow down to a false idol, he refused and he went and prayed to Yahweh. We may be confronted with a sword at our throat, being told to submit to a false prophet and a false deity or else. The time may come in our lifetime when we're told to worship the beast and submit to its system. What scripture will we recall if that happens? I have to turn there, but Matthew 10:28 says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul or the being, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both being and body in Gehenna. So it tells us what our priority should be, who we should be fearing, who we should have our faith in. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 7. And it gets back to Ezekiel 17, I think, you know, how will our life end up? Where will we be? What kind of state of mind, a frame of being will we be in when it comes down to the end for us? Will we be able to speak as Paul? 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which Yahweh, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but also all those who have loved his appearing. Not those that are fearful of his appearing, but those that love him and are looking forward to being raised up and looking forward to being told, well done, good and faithful servant. Are we there yet? Can we say that? I mean, is that what we're looking forward to? Is our faith strong? Do we perceive ourselves if we die tonight? I mean, it could happen. Heart attacks happen. Strokes, these aneurysms, these type of things can kill us. We're frail. We're human. We're not immortal. We don't have an immortal, we're not necessarily having an immortal soul as being taught. But with Yahweh's Spirit, if it's dwelling within us, doesn't that guarantee a future of eternity? Will we be able to speak as Paul at the end of his life? I've run the race. Now there awaits a crown. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll close up with the scripture. I didn't spend as much time as I would have liked to with this. Coming back from the feast is kind of difficult, as we strive to get things done. And I'm not complaining. In fact, at the feast, we were told not to complain again and again and again and again. And there's a couple messages, well, more than two messages that were given emphasizing that. So, I mean, if we have faith, if we know things are going to work out, I don't think complaining is going to be a part of our being. But we are still human. We have human nature. And it's a struggle at times because I think, especially in this society, we have a fast food mentality. We want things. We want them now. You know, I want it my way. You can have it your way, the airwaves tell us. But we can't always have our own way. Sometimes we have to give up things that mean quite a bit to us to hold on to that which is of greater worth. Kind of like the pearl of great price. I mean, you have to give up certain things to be able to hold on to that and to move forward with it and to, you know, to look forward, not to be looking back, not to be looking down, but to be looking up and forward. That's what we need to be doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves, but when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the sphere which Elohim apportioned to us as a measure to reach even as far as you. Excuse me. For we are not overextending ourselves as if we did not reach out to you, for we were the first to come even as far as you in the evangel of Messiah. Not boasting beyond our measure, that is, in other men's labors, but with the hope that as your faith grows, we will be within our sphere, enlarged even by more by you, so as to preach the evangel even to the regions beyond you. I mean, what happens when we preach the word and others understand and we all come together and I think we're able to do a better work, a stronger work. I think that's what a bit of what Paul is speaking of here. Again, this is Paul's writing. I'm wondering if I had anyone other than Paul in here. Maybe Habakkuk? Matthew. Yeah. He's a very prolific writer, and I do think he had a really strong sense of the Spirit within himself, and I think we need to attain to that and recognize just our own mortality, but also the Spirit that lives within us, that strengthens us to quicken our spirit, to help us. Verse 16. So as to preach the evangel even to the regions beyond you, and not to boast in what has been accomplished in the sphere of another. But he who boasts is to boast in Yahweh. For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom Yahweh commends. So faith is expected to grow in us, we find here, that as your faith grows, it says. Things such as works will also increase as increased faith comes, but boasting should not increase. So there has to be a balance. The work one does is boasting enough if it is done in Yahweh's will. And we are to be a peaceful, loving, faithful, humble people. We set the example not only in word alone, but also in action of our faith. So we see it being coupled with different things. And we've already read the fruits of the Spirit. We see things like the armament, helmet of salvation, these type of things, sword of the Spirit, and these type of things. But even that all relates to the Spirit, I do think, to putting on Messiah, to having Him in your life and moving forward with Him. But as Yahweh told Habakkuk, He tells us, the righteous will live by His faith. We are to be steadfast in the ways of Yahweh. We are to be believing that He will provide. And we are to be having a faith, a living faith, which is combined with other attributes such as love and works. It is not to be alone, because we are not alone if Messiah truly dwells within us. May Yahweh bless.